We are entering Sefer Bamidbar, Chumash Bamidbar, the fourth of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. We're all familiar that colloquially we refer to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah as Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. However, that's not really the way Chazal referred, coined, and titled the names of each of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Gemara says, Maseches Avodah Zarah, that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright, those avos, imos, who had and lived with integrity, with honesty, with truthfulness. Thus, Sefer Bereishis is Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. The avos and imos were just that. Sefer Shmos is called Sefer Agula, the book of redemption, because of course, after subjugation, enslavement of Mitzrayim and the Jewish people's redemption, and ultimately leaving Egypt, crossing the Yamsuf, being Mekablei Torah, we are the nation that is free, Ein Ben Chorin El Amisho Osik BaTorah, a nation that's free to serve its Lord, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yotzei Mitzrayim. Thus, it's the Sefer HaGeula, the Sefer Redemption, which is the core, the crux, and the focus of Sefer Shmos. Sefer Vayikra is coined Sefer Torah Kohanim, the book, the Torah of the Kohanim, because the lion's share of Sefer Vayikra deals with the mitzvos of the Kohen, the assays and the los assays, the positive and negative commandments, the do's and the don'ts, Parshios Vayikra, Tzav, all about the Karbonos, Parshas Emor, the mitzvos, the positive and the negative commandments of the Kohen, who he can marry, who he can't marry. And thus, Sefer Vayikra is called Sefer Toras Kohanim. Sefer Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPikudim, the book of numbers, because of course, Parshios Bamidbar and Parshios Pinchas, we read of the two census, the two countings of the population of the Jewish people. In the Midbar, year one is Parshios Bamidbar, the count of the Jewish people. In year one in the Midbar, Parshios Pinchas, in year 39, prior to exiting the Midbar and entering Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, this Chumash, Sefer Bamidbar, which we will talk about today, is Chumash HaPikudim, the book of numbers. And finally, Sefer Dvarim, Chumash Mishneh Torah, it's the redaction and the review of all Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's last will and testament, his words of Klal Yisrael, his review from the time that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim and left Mitzrayim up until the point where he dies, 8 psukim, prior to the end of the Torah, Vayamas, Moshe, Sefer Dvarim is Mishneh Torah, it's a repetition of the Torah. And really, when you look at the names, the titles of each of the Chumashim, they speak to the core, the essence, the soul, the neshama, the guf of each of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, Sefer HaYashar, Sefer HaGeula, Torah Skon and Mishneh Torah. But stop for a moment, Chumash Bamidbar, Sefer HaPikudim, the book of numbers, seems to not fit the other five. Because when you talk about the essence of each of the Chumashim, Sefer Yasha speaks to the essence of Bereishis. The Avos Nimos were upright. Sefer Shmos, Sefer Agula, the book of redemption, certainly speaks to the core of Sefer Shmos and Vayikra Torah Skonim and Dvarim, Mishneh Torah, certainly speak to the essence of each of the Chumashim. But the book of numbers, counting, it's true, there's a count in Bamidbar and Pinchas, year 1 and year 39, the two census that we read about. But is that really what's critical? What gets to the sense and that source and the essence of Chumash Bamidbar? Is that what we're talking about here? What about Parshas Korach and his rebellion? What about the Meraglim? What about the door of Nisim? Call it Sefer Haman, Sefer HaBe'er, Sefer HaSlav, Sefer Anane HaKavot, Sefer HaMidbar. The Midbar and the Nisim and the laws, the rules, the triumphs and the challenges of the Midbar. Isn't that what Sefer Bamidbar is about? Why is the count, the census in Parshas Bamidbar and Parshas Pinchas speak to the core, the essence of Sefer Bamidbar? It's this question, along with a second question that will be the focus of today's sheer introduction and really an overarching understanding of Sefer Bamidbar in totality. Question number two, the Gemara says, Maseches Shabbos, Perkol Kisvei, that there really aren't Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there are really 7 books of the Torah. Because if you look in Parshas Baloscha in Sefer Bamidbar, you'll notice that they're Nun Hafuchim, inverted nuns, separating 2 psukim that are well known to us. Vayhi bin Soha Aaron v'yomer Moshe, Kum Hashem v'yafutzo yivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha uvnucha yomar, Shuvava Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. The Torah describes that when the Aron HaKodesh moved and when it rested, Moshe Rabbeinu exclaimed, Vayhi bin Soha Aaron, Kum Hashem v'yafutzo yivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, that our enemies should scatter, should run away. And when the Aron was in rest, We said, Uvnucha Yomar, Shuvava, Hashem, Rivavos, Alpha, Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you dwell amongst the thousands, the myriads of the Jewish people. This two psukim really belong in our parsha, Parshas Bamidbar, because they speak about the encampment of the Jewish people. And when they exited and left from place to place, from each of the stops in the Midbar, this is what occurred. What is this doing in Parshas Baloschan? Why are there inverted nuns on either side of these two psukim? And the Gemara's first opinion, the opinion of Rebbe, is that it's supposed to teach us that there are seven books of the Torah. How seven? Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Devarim are four. And Sefer Bamidbar, those two psukim count as one, and there's five. And each side, on either end of these two nunin, are two other chumashim, for a total of seven books of the Torah, not chamisha chumshei Torah. Because within Sefer Bamidbar itself, we have three books, three counts. And again, what's the significance of having three books within Sefer Bamidbar? Why Dafkin Bamidbar are we adding to the what's classically known as the five books of Moshe? How is it that the Gemara understands that they're really seven, and why are there dafka, three extra, or two extra, in Sefer Bamidbar? These two powerful questions are raised by none other than the Netziv of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin in his introduction to Chumash Emek Davar, in his Psicha to Sefer Bamidbar. Take a look at each of the Psichos of the Netziv, to Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dram. They are gems. And the Netziv, Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, would give a shiurim in Chumash. I believe he gave them Leil Shabbos Friday night to the Talmidim of the Volozhin Yeshiva. Later penned and wrote what emerged as the classic work of the Netziv, the Sefer Emek Davar. And in his introduction to Sefer Bamidbar, the Netziv raises these two questions. And the answer to these two questions, says the Netziv, is based upon a very careful analysis and looking at the two census, the census in Parshas Bamidbar and the census in Parshas Pinchas. And you'll note, says the Netziv, there are three differences, three significant differences between the census in Bamidbar versus the census in Parshas Pinchas. And they're not inconsequential. And they are not immaterial, says the Netziv, but they speak to something very significant that's taking place. The first item that the Netziv mentions is that if you look in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, Prakim Aleph and Beis, the census is based upon the encampment of the Jewish people in the Midbar surrounding the Mishkan. And the numbers that are given for each Shevet, three on the north, three on the south, three on the east, three on the west, for the total of 12 Shvatim, the Shiftei Ka. That's how the count takes place, surrounding the Mishkan. The Mishkan is in the center of the Midbar. Kalal Yisrael, Machaneh, Kahuna, Levi, and Yisrael surrounding, encircling the Mishkan. If you take a look, however, in Parshas Pinchas, the census, the count of the Jewish people, the population, in year 39 has nothing to do with the Mishkan. The Mishkan is not mentioned, that's in the center, and we simply count Shevet by Shevet. What's a numbers game? But has nothing to do with the Mishkan. The Mishkan is omitted in terms of the census. Distinction number one is that the Netziv mentions. But there's a second distinction. And the Netziv notes, if you look carefully in Parshas Bamidbar, when the Shvatim are counted, first Ephraim, the son of Yosef, is counted, and then next only the second son of Yosef, Menashe, is counted. Menashe, of course, is older than Ephraim, but nonetheless, in terms of the census here in Parshas Bamidbar, first the count of the tribe of Ephraim is listed, and only then is the count of Menashe mentioned. But if you take a careful look in Parshas Pinchas, says that it's Ipcha, Adrab, the opposite. First, it's Shevet Menashe and his census for his tribe, and then the census for Shevet Ephraim, and asks the Netziv why that distinction, why the significant difference between first Ephraim and then Menashe in Parshas Bamidbar, as opposed to in Parshas Pinchas, where first we list Menashe and only then Ephraim. A third distinction, says the Netziv in Parshas Bamidbar, when listing the census of Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk always says, L'mishpechosam leveis avosam. We count the census of the tribe based upon the family and the home of the father. L'mishpechosam leveis avosam, however, is omitted and is missing in Parshas Pinchas. There's no reference, there's no statement, and those words are not articulated. L'mishpechosam leveis avosam. Those are the three distinctions and categorical differences that the Netziv notes as to the difference in the census in Bamidbar versus Pinchas. Bamidbar, the census is based around the Mishkan. First Ephraim and then Menashe is counted, and finally the statement of the Mishpechosam Levesavosam, the count is based upon the home of the father, those three distinctions of the census of Parshas Bamidbar are explicitly omitted in Parshas Pinchas. But that's not all. If you take a look at the Meshech Chacham Rameir Simchon Devins here in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, the census as well notes another distinction. And he notes that if you look in Perek Aleph of Parshas Bamidbar, each of the Nesiim, the chiefs of each of the tribes, are listed. Nasi l'Reuven, Nasi l'Shimon, Nasi l'Levi. We list the names of the chief of each of the 12 tribes, the Shiftei Kav B'nei Yisrael. But take a look, says the Ramesh Shechachma, Ramesh Simchav Devinsk, and Parshas Pinchas, there's no mention of the chief of each tribe, the Nasi of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef, Binyamin are missing. Another glaring omission in Parshas Pinchas as opposed to Parshas Bamidbar. How are we to understand these distinctions, these differences, the division, and the omission in Parshas Pinchas from that which is articulated and stated explicitly in Parshas Bamidbar? The Netziv, in his Hakdam and his Psicha to Sefer Bamidbar, puts down a fundamental yesod, a most basic tenet to understand and to appreciate Sefer Bamidbar, and with that we can read the Parshios HaShavua with different eyes and with different eyeglasses. Says the Netziv, the yesod, the point of all of Sefer Bamidbar is reading and understanding God's relationship with the Jewish people through what he terms as Hanhaga Nisus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to us in a miraculous fashion. If it wasn't the man, it was the slav. If it wasn't the slav, it was the Be'er Shel Mirim. If it wasn't the Be'er, it was the Anani HaKavod. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'inayim, Be'chush. The clouds of glory walked, traveled with us. The man dropped on our doorsteps. The slav fell within the Machane Yisrael, and the Be'er, the water, allowed us to be hydrated in the Midbar, a place lacking water. There was such a clear presence of HaKadosh Baruch of the Bari Olam during these years, during the Dor HaMidbar, that HaKadosh Baruch related to us in such a powerful, profound, obvious, explicit way. That's the Hanhaga Nisus. That's the expression of God's miraculous open way of looking toward us. However, as Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, that Hanhaga, that relationship changed. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to relate to us b'derech hateva, in the natural way. We had to till the soil, sow the ground. We had to be kotzer, we had to harvest, we had to work for our food, to plant, to sow. Everything was now within our hands. However, that was very different than the expression and the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. Change is something that's very, very difficult. Psychologists point out that one of the most dramatic and difficult challenges that a human being has to go through in life is moving. Uprooting oneself, changing your place of location, packing up and unpacking and moving is such an overwhelming experience. And you'll take a look in the Dor HaMidbar of Klal Yisrael, and Netziv notes something phenomenal, that we really only know about the Jewish people in the Midbar year 1 and year 39. There are 38 years that are essentially missing from Sefer Bamidbar. The focus is year 1 and year 39. The transition of being Avdei Paro, servants and slaves of Paro, to the Midbar speaks to the challenges we read about in Sefer Shmos and Parshas Bishalach. The people are complaining and kvetching and crying. We're dehydrated, we're thirsty, we're starving, rebelling and revolting against Moshe and Aaron because they were comfortable. They remember Mitzrayim and eating off of the fat in the land and the water that came from the Nile. They remember the zucchini, the vegetables and the bread and the fruits and the fish. The Kishuim, the Avatichim, as the Torah describes, that's something that was enormously amazing and incredible for them, even though they were Avadim slaves. But the transition to the Dor HaMidbar in year one was enormously difficult and challenging. But they adjusted and they got used to the Hanhaga Nisus. They got used to God's expressing Himself in overt way. With the Mon and the Slav and the Be'er and the Anani HaKovin for 38 years, they were tranquil, peaceful, happy years for Klal Yisrael, sitting back and watching the man fall, the slav on the ground, the water come up and fill up the well, and the Anane HaKabur protecting them. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the complacency and recognized the situation and the relationship, he understood, says the Netziv, that this couldn't continue forever. But as the Nitziv points out in Parshas Chukas, when Klal Yisrael rebelled at Mei Meriva and they wanted water, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told, take the staff, kachas amate, because starting in year 39, the water started to dry up and the wells were drying out. And the Nitziv explains that just as a mother who nurses her child for years, months, can't switch overnight and start feeding her baby food, but you have to introduce different foods slowly while you continue to nurse your baby. It's called weaning, because overnight you can't just stop. That's unhealthy for the mother and unhealthy for the baby. The baby needs to get used to and adjust to its new form and formula of being a recipient of food. You can't just give Cheerios, chicken and meat. Every generation and every physician, every doctor over the years has told us what and how we should introduce foods first. I've seen in my own lifetime, from my first to my eighth child, the doctors have changed their position, certainly from our parents' and grandparents' time. What are you going to introduce first? But everybody agrees you have to introduce something. You can't just stop and say, Tuesday morning, I'm going to stop nursing. A woman never does that. No mother would do such a thing. It's dangerous. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I can't just allow the Jewish people to enter the land of Israel, and as soon as they cross the threshold into Eretz Yisrael, that they'll just stop being recipients of the Mon, the Be'er, the Anane HaKavod, and the Slav. I need to allow them to adjust and to get comfortable to life that is going to be commonplace for them in the land of Israel. And thus in Parshas Chukas, the well dries up, although the Mon, the Slav, the Anane HaKavod continue. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I have to wean you. And we have to stop getting accustomed and regulated to the Hanhaganesis. And that's what takes place in year 39 in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael need to start to become adjusting and regulated to a new world order and to a new relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's for that reason that Nitziv points out that in Mei Meriva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kachas Amate, take the staff. Even though we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't told to hit the rock, he was told to speak to the rock. So why take the staff? And then Nitziv explains that it's this mate that was the mate that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the ground, Dam Tzvardei Akinim with. It was this mate that turned to a tanin, and vice versa. It was this mate that Moshe used always to provide miracles, both in Mitzrayim as well as throughout the years in the Midbar. But the Nitziv says that that was taken away from Moshe because slowly, slowly, Klal Yisrael had to be removed and separated and divorced from the Hanhaganesis, and no longer could Moshe simply have the mate at any moment. And therefore he commands, charges Moshe, kachas amata, you can have the mata now, when you're at Mei Meriva, but you can't always have it anymore, because we have to learn how to slowly wean the people from a life of miracles. Thus, the first year and the 39th year in the Midbar were transition years. Year one was the transition from a generation of people who were enslaved, subjugated to Paro, and that transition was difficult in year one, and thus all the revolt and the rebellions. And as they got comfortable with that for 38 years, comes year 39, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I can't just allow them to enter Eretz Yisrael and stop cold turkey. I need to wean them. The mate doesn't become something that Moshe carries with him all the time. The well begins to dry up, although Kodesh Baruch Hu continues to provide them with the Anane HaKavod, the Slav. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that there needs to be a change, and a slow change which takes place in year 39. And it's this change from the Hanhaga Nisis to the Hanhaga Tivis, from the miraculous way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared, revealed himself to the Jewish people, to the more concealed Hester Panim relationship that exists in the land of Eretz Yisrael, that's at the heart and at the crux of Sefer Bamidbar. It's this change which is represented, says the Nitziv, at the point in Parshas Bahaloscha, with the Misonanim, the complainers in year 39, and thus explains the Nitziv, that's why the Nunin are Hafuchim, that's why they're inverted, because there really are seven books. And the division takes place in Parshas Bahalosecha, right there, when the Nun is inverted. When the people complain, they're complaining because no longer is the Hanhaganesis so clear and so present. And thus, the Torah divides Sefer Bamidbar into three different quarters. The first section, Bamidbar Naso Balosecha, speak to the world relationship that Klal Yisrael have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Hanhaganesis. And slowly that fades away in Parshas Balosecha, people complain. And what happens in the very next Parsha? Shlach Lecha Meraglim emerge. Because Klal Yisrael no longer see the presence of God in the clearest, most real, open way. And they're no longer connecting to God in the miraculous. And therefore they say, we can't. We need Meraglim. We need spies. We need a way to really feel comfortable because God is hiding Kaviyachal. Will we be able to make it in the land of Israel? I don't know. And the people revolt and complain. And Moshe is stuck. Shlach lechonashim v'asuras eretz kanan. Let's spy out. Espionage. The land of Israel to make sure that we're comfortable, that we'll be okay. And those two nuns, inverted, have these two psukim. Vahibin so'ari yom Moshe kum Hashem v'yafut zivechav yanusim yisanech b'menach b'nuch yomar. Shuv Hashem rivavos alfa Yisrael. It stops. And then the second half of Sefer Bamidbar, the end of Parshas Bahaloscha, Shlach, Korach, the revolt, Chukas Me Meriva, Balak, and Bilam. And the end of Sefer Bamidbar, year 39, expresses the other Hanhaga, the Hanhaga Tivis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus we see that the focus of Bamidbar most prominently is the incredible way that Klal Yisrael had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanhaga Nisus. But we can't forget that that transition, which began in year 39, had to slowly allow the Jewish people to become comfortable with this new world order, this new relationship, the Hanhaga Tivis, which is going to exist in the land of Eretz Yisrael. With this, says the Netziv, we could understand the distinction between Parshas Bamidbar and Parshas Pinchas, and why there are four significant differences in terms of how to assess and the two censuses which take place. And now it's Kaftor v'Ferach, perfect. Because the Netziv says the census in Parshas Bamidbar was centered around the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the place of Hashras Hashchina. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu showed His appearance and His face, Kaviyachal, in the most obvious, explicit way. And the census, the population, the count of the Jewish people in Sefer Bamidbar speaks to this. Because here we are, the Jewish people surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, focused internally on the epicenter, the Makom HaMishkan, Hashras HaShchina, the Aron HaKodesh, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But in Parshas Pinchas, as we enter year 39, preparing to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Hanhaga Tivis begins. The relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural order, no longer the miraculous, begins. And therefore the Mishkan doesn't play as a significant a role, and it's not the basis of the count of the Mishkan. And thus the Mishkan is explicitly omitted and is not mentioned in reference to the count in Parshas Pinchas. And thus, says the Netziv, that's the reason why in Parshas Bamidbar first comes Ephraim and then Menashe, as opposed to Parshas Pinchas was first the census of Menashe and his tribe, and then Ephraim and his tribe, because Ephraim represents spirituality, Torah, Vira. That's who Ephraim was, and that's what Ephraim represented. We all know from Yaakov's blessings of Ephraim and Menashe, that Ephraim received the brach of Ruchnius, the brach of spirituality, and thus his descendants would have that. As opposed to Menashe, Menashe was his complement, who was the one who worked, tilled the soil, the land. And they would complement each other. And therefore in Parshas Bamidbar, when we find ourselves in the land and in the Midbar, where there is total revelation of God, first we count Ephraim, the spiritual tribe, and only then Bamidbar, and only then Menashe. However, in Parshas Pinchas, as we are preparing in year 39 to enter the land of Israel, the Hanhaga Tivis, first we count Menashe, and only then do we count Ephraim, of course expressing that we are about to split, we are about to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to need to till the soil, sow the land, take care of ourselves, protect ourselves, enemies are going to come. And therefore, for that reason, says the Netziv, that first Menashe and then Ephraim is counted in Parshas Pinchas. But it doesn't stop there, says the Netziv. That's the reason why in Parshas Bamidbar the focus is the Mishpachosam, the Vesavosam, because a Nasi, a chief, has to be on top of only his tribe and his tribe alone, because that Nasi is responsible for the spiritual inspiration and building block of each tribe. As opposed to Parshas Pinchas, where that's omitted, Lebish Mechosam, Leves Avosam, because there begins to be an intermingling of the tribes. And a Nasi is not just responsible for his Shevet, but it's a different allocation, a different sense of the Nasi's responsibility, and therefore says,